Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Does that tell you anything?
It tells me that maybe people are kind of overrating Keon Ellis in their mind, thinking Keon should be playing, without a shadow of a doubt, 25 to 30 minutes a night. Nah, like I don't think that's the case. And especially, I know people don't talk about this here, but I don't think any of these people are better than Keon's better than any of these people. He's not better than Malik.
Yeah.
He's not better than Russell Westbrook. He's not better than Dennis Schroeder. So if the team is trying to win and they're trying to do something, obviously Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan too.
Like it or not, they're trying to win basketball games.
Yeah. Doug Christie, this is his chance.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's trying to win.
Man makes minimum wage. He's got to win basketball games. Over here, you want this man to tank? He getting paid $250 an hour,
right? Keon's not better than those guys. He's not better than those guys. He's a good basketball player for sure, and a player that you would want.
I want Keon Ellis on the Sacramento Kings.
You want him on the team?
Absolutely.
But there are guys ahead of him on the depth chart, and I'll be nice about it and say, understandably so.
Mm.
I understand.
Yeah.
Why those guys are ahead of him on the depth chart.
I want Keon Ellis on this roster. I think Keon Ellis is a really good basketball player. I think it was last summer league or it was the beginning of last season. And I think, was it last year that there was like, hey, what's Keon's role going to be? Should Keon be starting? Team was so good when Keon did this. Team was so good when Keon did that. And they had him play summer league. And he kind of played a lot.
Yeah, he played into like the third week, it felt like.
And I remember asking at some point before the season, what the hell did Keon Ellis do to earn the starting lineup? Like, what did Keon do to earn anything y'all are trying to give him this offseason? And I asked that feeling like the answer was nothing. Like he didn't. Again, really good basketball player. Really, really want him to be a Sacramento King. It's just I don't think the conversation around Keon Ellis fits what Keon Ellis actually is in the league. I'll throw back to an earlier conversation you and I had today. Everyone wanted Keon to get that extension. Understandable. Let's go with the James Hamm dollar, which I think was $11 million per? 10, 11?
Yeah.
Somewhere around that. Keon Ellis makes roughly $10 million in this role. Are you talking about him the same way? Now, you can lie to me and say that you are, but you know that you're lying, and I know that you're lying. There's something about Keon being that gem that Sacramento found, you know, late in the draft, the guy that we see other teams. He was a second round pick. He was a G League guy. He was an under. Why does every team find one of these guys except Sacramento? And we feel like Sacramento got him. Well, when he's not that anymore, do you feel the same way? And I don't know. We always say when a player signs a contract, the fans are going to turn heel on him immediately. It's just the nature of the game. To what's this? I'm going to butcher this as bad as Zach LaVine did the other night. Too much is given, much is expected.
Yeah.
Is that it?
To
nobody screws up a saying more than D'Lo and KC, except for Zach LaVine.
Too much is given, much is tested. No, that's a
nope,
different
that
saying.
Ain't it. You guys know what we're talking about. It changes when you make that when you make that NBA money.
100%. And can't say it enough. We can't stress it enough, man. I'll speak for Damian in this situation. We love Keon.
Yep.
We love him, man. I want him on the squad, but with the people that are playing in front of him and the people that are on the depth chart in front of him, I'm not of the belief like, nah, you've got to play him 25 to 30 minutes a night or you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I don't see it that way. And then kind of going to what you were starting to talk about with this topic is, he might get some like single digit minutes and potential DMPs when Keegan gets back.
And that's the guy. He's the one who I feel like is the odd man out.
You got Keegan Murray coming back. You've got Malik Monk, who is playing good basketball. We hadn't even talked about the game he had last night. He had 21 last night.
Yeah.
He's playing good basketball off the bench. You got Russell Westbrook doing what he does. You've got Dennis Schroeder, who he's going to play. Like, he's going to be in that rotation because he had some good moments in his first eight games of the season as well.
Mm-hmm.
Zach LaVine, obviously averaging 30. DeMar DeRozan is your leading scorer when Zach isn't your leading scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's just no room for Keon. I know he plays great defense. I get that. But overall, these other guys are just better players. They're just better right now. And then you got Neat Clifford as well, who, if you're talking about developing and wanting to see what somebody is, yeah, you want to get Neat Clifford out there.
I thought Neat played really well last night. Max,
yeah.
I mean, Doug praised both of those guys. He played Max, he praised Maxine Reno and Neat Clifford. Max played about 15 minutes. I held my breath a lot when Max was on the floor.
Yeah.
We're both, I think, big proponents of Maxine Reno. We speculated before the season started, like, hey, maybe he's gonna get some run right out the gate. I feel like I'm understanding why he's not. Right, he still looks like a young NBA player out there. And again, like, there's just, he was on the floor a lot, and it was just like, it's kind of like the edge of your seat, man. You're gripping those little tiny cup holders that they got at the Golden One Center. But Doug praised Max and Neek, and I thought Neek was really good. Like Neek had a couple of moments last night where I was like, okay. Like, he had some big shots.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful cut to the basket.
Neek was impactful last night.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, I like that.
Yeah.
Give me that. Give me those Neek minutes.
100%. And, see, and this is where the disconnect happens. This is where this disconnect happens. Going to the chatty house, listening to J-Dog Knight, and he says, Westbrook is old and done. Ellis is a building block. Guys, Keon Ellis is not a building block.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. That doesn't mean he shouldn't be on the team or he's not good or anything else like that. But building block? He's not a building block. And that's, I think, the disconnect between some of the fans and the front office, multiple front offices. I think you talk to all four of those guys, Scott Perry, Mike Brown, Monty McNair and Doug Christie, they'll tell you how much they like Keon mm-hmm. and they love what he brings to the table.
Mike even used him in his Knicks press conference.
Yeah, and that was interesting.
It was a little bit of a lie, but it's fine.
But they would tell you they like Keon. We'll talk mm-hmm. about Scott Perry and Monty McNair. Specifically Scott Perry. I like Keon. I like what he brings to the table. Am I going to go out of the structure of what I'm trying to build and what I'm trying to do for Keon Ellis? No, he wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that means paying him money and handicapping other potential options. That means putting him in the game ahead of a guy like Neat Clifford and wanting to see what he got. No, they're not going to do that. And that, you know, Keon Ellis may go to a Denver-like team and be the new Bruce Brown type. But Denver is in a different situation. Houston is in a different situation. New York or whoever is in a different situation than the Kings are right now. And they can have Keon as a part of what they do and not look at him like a building block and just have him out there. And I think that's where the Kings are trying to get to. And the fact that people look at him like a building block, I just don't think the franchise looks at him the same way.
All this talk is alluding that Keon is getting traded.
What?
That's what the Chatty House says. I promise you, that's not what's happening. We're just
jig is up, guys. They found out. It's over.
Yeah.
Nah, man. No, we just what we are talking about, what we are alluding to.
Tune in next week when they talk sad about Zach LaVine. You guys will be happy for that one.
What this does allude to is the fact that we don't think that when everybody's fully healthy, Keon is going to be getting regular minutes.
While also emphatically stating we want him on the Sacramento Kings. Here. He should be on the Sacramento yes. Kings. And it's like if you look at your... If you think Keon Ellis adds win shares, he adds wins to the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Great. To what degree? Like if Keon Ellis is playing 35 minutes every single night. I saw Keon Ellis commit one of the stupidest fouls. I saw Keon Ellis do really two really stupid things last night. One, I think it was Jonathan Kuminga. He just put his hand on Jonathan Kuminga's arm. And Kuminga just went up.
So this where you're going to
put his hand was already there. And he just went up and got the foul call. The other one was, and it's like, well, that I don't think you should do that. Like, I'm not an expert. I don't think that you should defend that way. The other one was, it was early in the game. He swiped at someone in the air and came across their arms and hit the ball with his forearm. They call it a foul. Immediately, Keon goes, he does the review sign.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up at the thing like, Keon, you tackled him and you're looking around like, why was the flag called? I didn't understand that. And those are just two obvious silly things, right? In the end, they're bad fouls, but in the end, like, those really aren't that big of a deal. But I wonder how many little things are happening in each game where Doug is like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And if you're not, James pointed this out earlier, it was 5 of 8 the other night.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not 5 of 8, if you're not aggressive with the three, if you're mm-hmm. not, I don't have a use for you.
Fact.
And that's what it, with all due respect, that's what it felt like last night. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the shot. They were playing, unfortunately, you know, trailing most of that game, and they needed baskets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were getting enough stops, particularly after the first quarter, but they needed baskets, and Keon wasn't there for that. And Neek was aggressive. Obviously, Russ was. DeMar, after he got Tombstone Powell drove on the Golden One center floor, like he was aggressive. Like, they had enough guys who were being aggressive. Obviously, Malik was back; he was mm-hmm. ready to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Is Keon, man, you gotta have something out there.
Contrary to popular belief, and Draymond Green, the rules of the game have not changed. You have to score more points than the other team.
Thank you, Trent Carraway. That is accurate. The baby daddy says, come on now, Keon isn't the only one making bad decisions last night. How many times did Monk bite on passes to Moody for three? Maybe seven, maybe eight. But the baby daddy, let me remind you, Keon didn't do anything else.
That's the thing. Monk had 21
points. Malik scored 21 points last night. Keon took one shot. Oh, we got to go to break. I just noticed the time.
What pointed at, you looked up? I thought you looked at it when I was pointing. I was like, oh.
I might have looked at it and just ignored it.
Oh, maybe. I was like, oh, I guess we're having Matt.
No, Matt George joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Damn it. All right, our man Matt George with us here live from the ABC 10 studio. Sorry, Matt, I can't watch you. I'd love to be able to see your beautiful face on television, but Google and Disney have decided I'm not allowed to. So
I can't watch me either.
Well, there you go.
I'm the same way.
Very, very happy to have you here on the show. Of course, host of the Locked On Kings podcast. As well, do you want to get in on the Keon Ellis conversation we were having just a moment ago? I actually used your clip with Doug Christie a moment ago where you asked, you know, what's this going to look like for Russell Westbrook, who was obviously terrific last night. He was actually really terrific in the game versus Denver as well when everybody is back and healthy. And he said, Doug said he's probably going to go back to, you know, coming off the bench, being a spark. I expect him to do what he did tonight. I expect him to do what he does. He's going to close games. He's going to be impactful. He's going to do all of that. And that's left us to ask the question. There's probably going to be an odd man out who is struggling for minutes. In my opinion, is that's going to be Keon Ellis. And I have felt that way for a while, but what really caused me to feel like I'm not wrong was when the starting lineup was announced last night. And it's like, oh, they're okay. We speculated on what it might look like, and none of us presented a scenario where Nick Clifford started the second game of his career. And seeing him play 30-some-odd minutes and Keon playing 17 left me thinking maybe we're on the right track with Keon searching for minutes here when everybody's back.
Yeah, there's two branches of conversation off of that Doug Christie quote that go in completely different directions. One branch is like you're talking about the Keon Ellis conversation and the odd man out conversation, and the other branch is, well, is how much consideration should there be into making Russell Westbrook a permanent starter? And if you do go that route, who then do you move out of the starting lineup? And I talked about that on the podcast last night. I don't think we're there yet. I think when hopefully the Sacramento Kings get completely healthy and get their normal starters back, we'll see the starting five that we expected that worked together all training camp and preseason long. And you'll ride that out for a while. But if that starting lineup, like Malik Monk talked about after last night's game, if that starting lineup struggles with getting off to good starts, struggles with energy early on, I wouldn't put it past Doug Christie at all to look at Russell Westbrook and insert him into the starting lineup. That's a conversation maybe months from now, and maybe we never even have to have that conversation. The Keon Ellis conversation is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, again, all I can do is go off of the context of the conversations that I've had with the people who seem to think and feel differently about Keon than the general fan consensus. And I shared on your guys' show, we talked about a handful of weeks ago, the perspective or belief internally that Keon Ellis isn't as irreplaceable as fans make him out to be. They feel that they could find production from a player like, or a similar player like Keon in free agency or in the second round of the draft or somewhere in the future, easier than people might imagine. So therefore they're less afraid of losing him if he were to test free agency and choose to go elsewhere at the end of this year, if the Kings and him don't come to an extension. But the other part of that conversation goes all the way back to things that I talked about with Mike Brown, and Mike being very open and honest with myself and different members of the media about why Keon had a shorter leash, for lack of a better term, than some of the other players on the roster. And one of the reasons was because he was a recently converted two-way player to his first NBA contract, and Mike firmly believed that he couldn't treat that the same as he's treating De'Aaron Fox or Domantas Sabonis or these other guys, or even Malik Monk. And the other aspect is what Mike told us specifically is while Keon does make these great steals, he had two steals last night. It's what he does. There's a reason why has one of the highest steal ratings on NBA 2K, right? These flashy plays that show up every once in a while, but Keon is a very high-risk, high-reward defender. And individually, that leads to great moments. But team defensively, that can cause your four other teammates to have to react to when things don't go well. And I feel more often than not when Keon gambles, it's a good gamble. And he's got such quick hands and he defends really, really well that more often than not, like, you can live with him gambling in that way. But Mike would always talk about if he would go gambling for a ball or try for a steal or be out of position to try and jump a passing lane or whatever, that would immediately put the rest of the team in rotation if he doesn't get the basketball. And typically if the Kings are in rotation, it's a breakdown and it's leading to an easy bucket. So, again, I'm not saying that it's Keon's fault when the Kings go into rotation, but I feel like the fan base sees the steals and they see the jumping passing lanes and the gambles and they like it. And it's fun because he gets the basketball twice a game, which we would consider really, really good. If you average two steals a game, you're towards the top of the league. But what about the other handful of possessions where when he doesn't get the basketball and the Kings end up giving up a wide open three or a bucket at the basket because the team has to rotate and fix the problem? So I think if Keon were more of an established NBA player or like maybe taller or more of a star or whatever, you could live with the gambling more than you can for a guy who, in my mind, is like a 17 to 20 minute a guy, a player. Like, I don't think the way Keon played last night, how the Kings used Keon last night, I don't think there was anything wrong with that. And if people are comparing his number or his minutes played to Nick Clifford's, I guess I get it, but one, Nick Clifford is by this front office and coaching staff viewed as more of a piece of the future because they just brought him in. And number two, Neek is 6'6", 6'7", bigger wingspan, mm-hmm. just a bigger guard. Mm-hmm. And this Kings team needs that length on the perimeter right now. So long-winded way of saying this has always kind of been a conversation around Keon, and the basketball minds seem to be feeling the same way.
One of the things I think it's a little overlooked, too, when you talk about the Keon aspect of it all, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I could be proven wrong with the numbers, but just thinking about watching him play and what I see out there, you got a guy like Russell Westbrook who maybe isn't the Keon level defender on ball, but he's still better than people give him credit for. Mm-hmm. But also you're a Sacramento Kings team that needs rebounding, and that doesn't seem to be a strength at the guard position from Keon Ellis. You kind of talked about it a little bit, Damian. If Keon isn't locking up one-on-one or getting a couple deflections, what else is he doing in the game? Is he scoring? Is he creating offense? Is he rebounding? Is he creating for others? Those aspects tend to be lacking with the rest of his game, whereas Russ can do all those things. Malik Monk is such a high-end scorer off the bench that, you know, you got to have him out there sometimes, even if he isn't the best defender. And even Dennis Schroeder, who has had ups and downs or whatever, he's a proven big shot guy, can create his own shot, can create for others, and he defends as well. He defends the ball as well. So there's just a couple of different things going. And Schroeder got a couple of rebounds last night. Like, he got in there, and he'll get some clutch rebounds as well. So there's just a couple of different things that seem to be going against Keon Ellis in this situation with the depth chart, how it is with the Kings right now.
Well, and if I may too, guys, like, because I'm seeing in the chatty house, and I'm even getting some of the interaction on social media, having a completely separate conversation about Dennis Schroeder. People need to stop. We just live in this society that seems so high school in the way of thinking, and everything's personal and everything has to be an extreme. It's not that the Sacramento Kings don't like Keon. Someone in the chat said, you guys are all of a sudden turning on Keon, or the Kings don't value Keon at all. Why even keep him around? That's not the case at all. It doesn't have to be an extreme of he plays all the minutes or everybody hates him and get him out of the organization. Keon is one of those players that is in the middle. That is where you're trying to, that's why he's playing 17 to 20 minutes, because he's a valuable rotation piece on a team that where they're trying to go. Keon absolutely has a role with where they're trying to go, but they don't believe that Keon playing more minutes and paying Keon more money right now gets them to that spot quicker. Every team would love to have a Keon Ellis that can come in off their bench in the playoffs and lock up whoever the opposing team's best guard is and make them as exhausted as possible for 17 to 20 minutes a night. You're fresh and you can space the floor and knock down threes. What a perfect role. Those are those guys where those guys play that way in the playoffs, and then they get paid by a worse team afterwards when they become free agents because everybody saw it on the national stage. That's the type of player that Keon Ellis is. So we need to get rid of this idea or this belief that just because Keon Ellis isn't playing as many minutes as fans think he should be playing, that he's not as valued in that Kings organization. Scott Perry, Doug Christie, they value what Keon Ellis brings. They see it, but they see it in the window or in the grand scheme of what they're trying to do and what they are trying to build. So there's no reason to believe that the Kings don't want Keon Ellis here long term. I happen to be told they do, but they're not going to overpay and go above and beyond financially to bring a player in that they don't know if they're bidding against themselves. They don't know who they're bidding against, and they don't feel that he's such a commodity in the league that you won't be able to replace him if you were to walk away, or some team were to pull a Los Angeles Lakers and overpay just to get him out of your system and get him onto their roster. Like the Kings are looking at this from that perspective. So we can have a conversation about Keon, but remove the extremes of they either love him or they hate him. That's not the case at all. It's in the middle. They're trying to build a roster, a competent roster, use their money and maximize the players that they have while also looking 2-3 years in the future and saying, okay, how can we get it so Keon Ellis is playing important minutes on a team that's trying to make a deep playoff run?
Real quick, I kind of say it like this, and I look at these guys as very important and kind of similar type players. Would the Golden State Warriors be paying Gary Payton a second $10 to $12 million a year? No. And the time where he was, just like you just mentioned, Matt, we're going to overpay him. They had to let him walk.
He left, yeah.
They were like, yeah, we can't give you that for what we're doing and what we're trying to do in our situation. Go get your money. He went to Portland. He got, and even in that situation, I think he got like $8 million a year. It wasn't even like it was like a crazy bank, but it was like, yeah, you got to. You're one of those type of players in the league where if that comes up, you got to cash in on that. But you ask anybody that watches the Warriors or is in that front office or in that locker room, they'll tell you how important Gary Payton is mm-hmm. to what they do. But yeah, there's a price limit to what you would pay him, and there's a minute limit too. Like he's not playing 35 minutes a night.
Gary Payton career earnings.
What's up? What are we doing?
Are we running here? Well, hold on. We run this real quick. It won't take. All right.
I don't
Matt.
Even have paper. Hold on.
We're in a live studio Matt. Audience with Matt George here. We got a live studio.
Hold
audience.
On. I don't get to play?
No, you absolutely do get to play.
Oh, yes, I'm in.
Gary Payton the second.
I'm gonna save.
This
paper
can't be here. More than like. Never mind. I'm not gonna use.
I'm gonna before. Save paper and use the same one I used before.
9 years.
Use the loser paper.
In the National Basketball Association, 9 years for Gary Payton II, an undrafted player out of Houston. 2016, Aaron Goodwin is his agent.
Shout out to playing the second, right? Not the senior.
The second. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah. The one we were just referring to.
All right. Well, I'm saying it's not going to be much money here.
Okay. The most amount of money that Gary Payton II earned in a single season was... $9.1 million. The most for the undrafted rookie, Gary Payton II. The most amount of money he earned in a single season was $9.1 million. That was in 2024. 9 years in the league for the Golden State Warriors guard. We've got a guest appearance from Matt George here. All. Do you have a question?
Well, yeah, I'm just... Is this the opening night? Is this the first one of the season? I think it is.
It absolutely is.
I think it is.
It's opening night, and Matt George is a part of it. He has a chance to win himself into the Pocket Watching League. Ladies and gentlemen, or gentlemen.
Opening night, you say? Hold on. Let's just run this one real quick. Get it.
Oh, man.
Pocket Watch is back. Hey, first time
it feels
years.
Different. Pocket Watch, it feels different well, this year. Michael Jordan's going to talk after this is done.
If we're being not no,
gonna
he's not. He's not going to say anything.
We're going to air it.
It is Jesse's ring ceremony, though. That's for sure. All right, fellas, and I need to see the numbers.
All right, here we go.
I need to see the numbers. What do we
it's
got?
It's the bottom number.
Jesse goes 33 million. Oh, my God. KC goes 32 million. Matt goes 18
million. What a game
million.
To start it. Already close.
Arguably the greatest episode of Pocket Watching in history. 33.5 million is the number.
Hell?
And
what
the champ.
Hell?
The champ.
You guys
wins
got it this year. I'll be back next year. You guys got it.
On that's ring okay ceremony
okay
night.
That's okay. We went to double overtime. I'm the Rockets. You see it.
Wow.
You see it. You see, we here. We are here this year. What's going on, sir? We're here this year. All right? We're here. We went to double OT. It's all good.
That's all right. That's all right. 33.5 million is the number.
Damn it. What the hell?
That was epic.
What the hell?
That's epic. Absolutely epic. Do you need us? Because we're still live. I want to make sure you're not waiting around too long. Okay. Just making sure. Because there's no commercial break for about 20 minutes. That's our man Mark right there.
He said, do you guys do a radio show or something?
He walked in earlier and I said, and I texted him, I said, hey, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, sorry to barge in. He comes back in, clearly not realizing this. We don't do commercials here on this station. All of that was about Gary Payton the second.
I can't believe I almost ruined ring night.
That was an okay first effort, Matt. We'll expect.
Yeah Matt.
I'd like to officially retire. From
the Vancouver Grizzlies, Matt.
Matt has walked off in the similar way that Kyle Matson has.
Hey, real quick. How long do you think Mark would have waited there if you didn't say anything?
I have no idea. I'm not sure. He looked like he was getting comfortable, and I looked up like, Mark, we got 20 minutes, man. I don't know if you need.
Look, because then you have to tell him that, too. You were like, no, we're on there. He's like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. We don't break for another 20, 25 minutes, sir. Oh, well, damn. Okay.
This is the most casual work environment in radio history. Do you want to bring your Dennis Schroeder conversation into this that you took to social media yesterday or recently?
Now I'm angry because I had 35 on the brain and then I got scared.
It would have looked better, but yeah. You still would have lost. Like Jesse is, he's a juggernaut.
Yeah,
what a dumb game. Right, what a dumb
it's
game.
Opening night. He's 1-0. Let's relax.
Okay, so the Dennis Schroeder conversation that I threw out on social media, and it's not, again, we just talked about not everything is personal and not everything is an attack or anything like that. It's just asking an honest question. Based off of the way that we've seen Russell Westbrook play, which is, I think, better than everybody, even members of the Sacramento Kings, expected so far this season, would the Sacramento Kings have been better off, or would they be better off right now, whether you want to talk about on the basketball court winning games today or long-term financially or whatever, would the Sacramento Kings be in a better situation right now if they had not paid Dennis Schroeder, but given Russ his vet minimum or whatever to bring him here? He's your starting point guard. You use the money to extend Keon, and you never trade Jonas Valanciunas in order to free up the money needed to get that Dennis Schroeder deal done. So Russ is your starting point guard. Keon is under an extension, and Jonas Valanciunas is still here and playing important backup center / starting center minutes with Domantas Sabonis out for a couple of games with injury.
I presented this scenario without the Keon extension a week or so ago, and I like Dennis Schroeder a lot, and I like what he brings to Sacramento. I'd really like to have Jonas Valanciunas back. So, but my answer is yes. I like that idea more. Would they be better? I'm not sure. I'd feel a little more comfortable still having JV here, but, you know, whatever. Yeah.
It's a very fair question to ask. I know for some people, Dennis Schroeder has been a little underwhelming at times. He's been up and down.
He's had some good moments.
Yeah,
he's had
some really good moments. He's had some moments where it's like, where are you at? The two things for me that I think about in that scenario is, number one, I probably wouldn't have been as eager or, like, I don't necessarily need the Keon extension part of it. Like that, if I'm Scott Perry, I don't have to sign him to an extension right now. Like, and it goes kind of maybe what you're talking about, Matt, with they like him, but they're not afraid of losing. Like, if you lose Keon, then you just kind of move on with what you're doing as a franchise.
Quick question, Kay. Is that with today's context, or did you feel, I don't remember, did you feel the same way during the offseason about the extension?
I felt.
Oh, KC never wants to sign anyone to an extension, ever.
No, I don't ever want to have protected draft picks. I'm done with that.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I'm done with that. Give them all unprotected draft picks. But I was indifferent. I was indifferent because I like Keon. So if it was like, oh, he's going to be here for another 3-4 years, I'm happy with that. Organization team building wise, if they decided, hey, we want to see this a little bit and not give him the extension, I was okay with that too. So I was a little indifferent with that. But the other thing I look at with the Dennis thing is, yes, you signed him to a little, you know, to the deal that you signed him to, but maybe, and we've seen this in a couple of these trade machine scenarios, maybe that contract is able to be used in a potential bigger deal, whether it's this trade deadline or in the summer, with that money that you wouldn't, maybe it wouldn't matter because you wouldn't have anybody under that type of contract. You could just absorb some of the contract, but maybe they don't want you to absorb. They want a piece. They want to, maybe Memphis wants a Dennis Schroeder for the next 2 years, and that allows you to get somebody like John Morant or whatever trade you want to make.
Yeah, if this were like one of those articles where you're grading the signing of Dennis Schroeder, you'd take the coward's way out and just go incomplete, because there's so many more factors that haven't played out, like what happens with Keon going forward. And if the Kings do lose Keon in free agency for nothing, that's going to spin some sort of negative perspective on where they spent the money or how Dennis Schroeder plays over the remainder of the season. It's worth pointing out, too, like in the three games the Kings have won, Dennis has been very impactful in all three of those
games.
He
was really big in the fourth quarter last night.
Three of five from 3-point range. I think he scored 13 of his 17 points in the fourth quarter or something like that. So he was huge fourth quarter-wise. And then, the two games that the Kings won before that, he clamped up Keontae George to get the win against Utah. And then he was part of the defensive effort with Zach LaVine to make sure A.J. Green didn't get a good look off in Milwaukee, so the Bucks couldn't tie that game. And then I don't remember if it was him or Russ who had the really smart foul there at the end to send.
Russ.
Yeah, it was Russ. But regardless, so he's been like when it's been winning time in the three games the Kings have won, Dennis Schroeder's played really well. So I want to make sure I give him the appropriate context and the appropriate shout out there. I'm looking at it from the perspective of, like, I think long-term financially the Kings would be in better shape. I think the Kings have needed a backup center more than they've needed a backup point guard, if that makes sense. Not that Dennis is a backup point guard, but the Kings have needed that center depth because of the injuries to Domantas Sabonis so far, and it would be nice to have Jonas Valanciunas, who many believe is a starting caliber center in this league. I think he would have helped the Kings maybe win that game in Phoenix, whatever, revisionist history. And a lot of people ask, well, if Schroeder wasn't here and Russ was your starting point guard, you still have the problem of the backup point guard minutes. And I never had a problem with Malik running the second unit. Like, it was that was never really an issue before when Malik, unless he was sharing the floor with De'Aaron, but even when he was sharing the floor with De'Aaron in that second unit, Malik a lot of the times would take some of the ball handling responsibility away from Fox so the Kings could play Fox more off the ball. I didn't like Malik as the starting point guard. It did not work. But Malik as a facilitator off the bench in that role, and he's still even doing it now. I mean, Malik still is, in terms of pick and roll point guard, is or the pick and roll ball handler, I think is the best on the team at this point in time, and seems to always build a good two-man game with centers, with bigs. So revisionist history, it's a completely hypothetical question, but I wonder if I don't think Scott Perry, if he could have it back, would say no, but I wonder if the Kings would be better off because of how well Russ is playing, that I don't think any of us saw coming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yeah. Maybe you, Dame.
The interesting thing is, like, we're of the belief they knew they were signing Russell Westbrook. So it's not like it wasn't like Dennis and Russ were the plan. And maybe they didn't, and maybe to your point, I think they felt like they always needed two point guards is what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like they think they didn't want to use Malik in that role. They wanted to use Malik in the role that he was in last night, mm-hmm. where he was all over the place, good and bad. He was all over the place, but Malik was impactful in his return to the floor. I think that's where they prefer him rather than Horns, you know, let's set up the offense. Like, no, man, let Malik do what he does best, and that's, we'll all find out together.
Yeah,
I wish he would stop trying to murder people on dunks, because that, I mean, I can't believe, Doug, I was stunned when Doug called for the review on that charge, when they called the charge on Malik. He called for, when Malik went up.
Yeah,
Doug called for the review, and I'm like, "How?"
Yeah, I saw that right away. I said, "That's a block." And yeah, then they called a charge. I was like, "Whoa!" I wouldn't have challenged it, maybe, but I was like, "Oh, that looked like a block initially."
Yeah, I was surprised, and it was like, "Oh, Malik was trying to murder him." He's just like he did. Like, Malik jumped so far away from the rim a couple of games ago. Who he could have thrown the ball and he would have missed the rim. He was so far away.
Was that that wasn't the Lakers? Who was that?
It wasn't. It definitely wasn't the Lakers. I don't remember what game it was, but
might have been Phoenix.
I wish he'd stop. I really wish
he'd. He gonna get one of them.
Well, and that's the thing. Like,
oh, he did against Utah 2 years ago.
Oh, he did. Yeah. He did.
I was in the building for that. Even the Jazz fans were like, okay. Even the Jazz fans popped for that dunk. Chris Dunn didn't like it too much. He ended up shoving Malik, and Malik didn't care. People forget, like, Chris Dunn two-hand shoves him in the chest, and Malik keeps celebrating and runs up the court. Malik did not care. He looked right past Chris Dunn and yelled in his face.
Classic.
Something like, obviously, I watch Kings basketball more than I watch any other team, so there's that context to this. But I can't remember a player that attacks the rim, stops in the paint, and then uses his pivot foot for that turnaround fader as much as Malik does. Mm. That's become kind of his go-to shot. Mm. And I feel like that's going in the same way. Like, remember the Rashawn Holmes push shot? Like, it felt like that shot went in every single time he took it. Malik attacking the basket, defense cuts off his lane, plants the pivot foot, spins back, shoots about 10 to 15 footer. And it's money almost every time. That has become, and he's been doing it for years here in Sacramento, but it's just jumped off to the page recently. Is that's Malik Monk's shot. If he loves to let it fly from 3-point range, and he's shooting really well from three to start this season, so that's a welcome sight. But if Malik's attacking the basket and the lane's not there for him to dunk on somebody, he's going to hit that little turnaround jumper. And I hear Kenny in my head every time he does it, go ba 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 ba. That's what I hear in my head every single time Malik does it.
He shoots that over the left shoulder, too. That's a tough shot.
As makes it look easy, though.
Over the right shoulder.
What do you think about Drew Eubanks' minutes so far in this early Kings season?
I think anybody in the first two rows should wear helmets. That man played volleyball. No, Drew actually has been playing really well. The last two games of the road trip, he was playing really well. And if there's anyone that's benefiting from playing with Russell Westbrook, it's Drew Eubanks. Russ is making Drew Eubanks look great. I wish Drew wouldn't take so many freaking hook shots and post hooks in the lane as much as he does.
I think Russell Westbrook would wishes that too.
Drew thinks it's 10 years ago, apparently, because he just loves that hook shot. But I mean, I think Drew's doing his job. I expected him to space the floor more than he has. Like he has the ability to pick and pop, and we just haven't seen that much from him. He is trying to attack the basket a lot. He's constantly cutting backdoor. I think Drew's doing a fine job, but there's a reason why the backup conversation or backup center conversation has been what it's been, and Precious Achiuwa is here now, and like he's
nice little debut that. Last night, by the way. We haven't talked about him at all.
She would have dunked that out of you.
Yeah, that's me too. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. So I think Drew's doing a solid job. I think Drew has to be very matchup based. Like when you played the Utah Jazz and they had like Walker Kessler, who's now out for the season, and Yusuf Nurkic. Like those are two really big centers. All right, you're gonna have a tough matchup against those. Like against a team like the Warriors last night with like Quentin Post and Al Horford, who's more a stretch big. Like Drew Eubanks is really good, I feel, in those lineups. So that was a good game for him to start.
Yeah, I talked about it earlier on the insiders, and Kyle brought up a good point. Maybe the bar was just so low that was the case, but I was like, when am I going to acknowledge that Drew Eubanks is probably better than I gave him credit for? Because every time I come in here, a lot of the times I come in here after a game and I was like, Drew Eubanks wasn't bad tonight. No, he wasn't bad tonight. Mm-hmm. He actually played pretty good tonight. And we're 6-7 games in where I keep saying that. And maybe he's a solid center and a solid player at his role. And he does a good job at his role.
Domantas Sabonis could learn a thing or two from the desire to score that Drew Eubanks has, because Drew looking to score, and I admire him for it. It doesn't always work out in his favor, but Drew will get the ball in his hands, and the first thing he does is look at the rim. I'm like, I respect that. I respect that big.
Last night was fun, man. Last night was fun. The energy in the building was there, despite the fact that Steph wasn't. Despite the fact Zach and Domas weren't, Jimmy Butler wasn't. Draymond was being Draymond as usual in his little.
Did he do anything like, any antics during a timeout or something like that?
Draymond?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he absolutely did. Yes, late in the game. I don't know who he was talking to. Shout out to Katie because she was the one who caught it. She was like, what is he doing? She was annoyed. She doesn't like him either because she watched the starting five. So she doesn't like him either. But she's like, what is he doing? And I look at and I have to assume he's talking to Malik because I don't know. It wouldn't make sense for him to talk to anybody else. I swear to you, he's talking and he stomps his foot and does this thing and is like, what? And he stomps his foot again and is like, what? It's like, oh, sit y'all.
Did Malik say anything?
Malik. I don't know if Malik was at the free throw line or Malik was in the spot behind the free throw line. But Malik just kind of is looking at him. No one responded to him. Absolutely no one. That's why I wasn't sure who he was talking to. It just wouldn't make sense for him to be talking to anyone other than Malik. Like, what would that mean to Russell Westbrook?
Right.
Or Dennis Schroeder? Like, it wouldn't mean anything. The only person it could have been was Neek, and Neek looked at him like he was half stupid. Like what? Almost like, what is wrong with this dude? Hey, Steve, what's the mental health plan at the Golden State Warriors, man? Cause get Draymond on it. He don't look right.
What's wrong with this guy?
But yeah, that was late in the game. Most of the game, he was playing with his fingernails and standing around with his hands in his pockets.
Once again, Draymond out. Steph.
That's right.
Knowing full well this sentence might get me in trouble, can I bring you guys in on a mistake that I made last night?
Oh, boy. Absolutely.
Right. Here we go. It involves our friend's prize picks. Mm. I made the mistake of needing Buddy Hield to help me out in prize picks, and Buddy Hield betrayed me again, man. I hit on everything. I was two Buddy Hield three-pointers away from like a $400 payday. And one, Steve Kerr decided not to play him for some reason at all in the fourth quarter. And
for some reason, do you not remember the play?
When he dribbled off his foot. Yeah.
He did it. He literally did it again. Yeah. Why does that happen every time he's in this building?
Bro, when he did it, I was sitting next to our guy Brandon from CBS 13, and I turned to him and I said, "Well, I'm cooked." he's done.
The only louder reaction in the arena than Buddy Hield losing the ball off his foot was the Russ moment with the fan. That was it. Because when that ball went off his foot, the crowd went nuts. They would have cheered because it was a turnover.
Right.
But because it was Buddy who was booed when he was introduced.
Oh, he got him again.
He smiled. He yeah. did smile when he got
and
that
And we
kind of
smile when we yeah. boo him too. Yeah.
A little bit.
He said something to Bobby Jackson too. He checked in, had a huge smile on his face, and he and Bobby were like jawing at each other a little bit from near the King's bench.
I guarantee you, Bobby didn't understand a single thing he said. I wouldn't be shocked if Buddy didn't understand anything Bobby said back to him.
I was so confident going into that game. I was like, no Steph, no all these guys out. Like Buddy Hield is coming in, and 2.5 threes, give me that. Like, come on, Buddy Hield's gonna let it fly. And he comes in the first 5 or 3 minutes that he's in, he has 7 points, including a made three.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is in the bag. And then he didn't do anything for the rest of the game. And Steve Kerr played him like 10 total minutes in the first half. I was like, oh, okay, I'm cooked.
The funny thing about Steve is he didn't really look like he wanted to coach that game without Steph either.
Wasn't even reviewing stuff.
He kept looking. Nat, do I review? Nat, and he'd like, I don't, Nat, no, no. Oh. Like he's Meanwhile, mad Moses at the guy moving. Looking at the film. Like, Steve, like it's
your call, bro.
Like, Steve, if you want to review it, review it. You're going to lose.
Moses Moody's hitting every three he possibly puts up.
I like Moses Moody, man.
Of course I didn't take Moses.
I like Moses.
Price Picks is great, but I'm so bad at it.
It's fantastic.
Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code KIFM.
Yes, sir.
Got that one for free. Great stuff as always, Matt. NBA Cup on Friday. Champs are here. Coming off a loss.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be in great mood. I got a glimpse. I did because I don't leave the arena till freaking late. I got a glimpse of the new court.
Is it? Oh, so it's down?
It's down.
Oh, very nice.
They were putting it down. They start with the middle. They build the middle, and then they add to the side. So I got the middle. When I left, they had the entire middle done, and that's the middle is the main part. It is, it's pretty.
That Sacramento is fire.
Yeah, that's Sacramento is fire. It is really cool. If you ever get a chance to see an NBA Cup game, you'll notice right away. Oh, it's different.
Yeah,
the environment is a little bit different. It's pretty cool. Great stuff as always, Matt. We appreciate you for being with us. We've got perhaps the most interesting show in a 5-year history tomorrow. Godfrey is going to be with us. He's performing at the Punchline. Eddie Gonzalez is going to be with us, as he is every Friday. And Corey Close, the women's basketball head coach for UCLA. Of course, it's UCLA and Oklahoma here at the Golden One Center on Monday. She's going to be with us coming up at 3:30. So make sure you're locked in here with us beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Raiders!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.